Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all my fellow blessed beloveds out there. It's Living and Thriving Day, and guess what? You're living and thriving with Rusty, and I'm Rusty. Today is a fabulous Humpity Hump Day, my first favorite day of the week. Why, you ask? It's because I get to hang out with you and have some amazing guests and speakers and motivate ourselves and inspire ourselves and learn to love ourselves and, you know, just hang out and be cool and hang out with some really amazing people all over the world. Yes, all over the world. That's very humbling and scary and exciting and amazing. So thank you so much for being part of Living and Thriving. And I'm grateful, very humbled by you. And I love all the emails and the Facebook posts and all of the love that I've been receiving. I'm so grateful. Sunday was some cosmic pivotal point for Chloe and I have no idea, but we've just been swarmed with so much love, and it's made me cry 3 times this week. Tears of joy, of course. Sunday, Chloe and I went to take Chloe to a maple syrup farm. It was sugaring weekend here in New England, and I totally forgot and woke up. What are we going to do? Oh, let's go to a farm and have some maple syrup. It's always fun. So we drove an hour south, but before we took off, we stopped at my favorite Starbucks, and I got Chloe addicted to the passion tea. I love that. It's so good. And I got my coffee, and we're getting ready for our long girls' day, and somebody paid for our drinks. Humbled, amazed, gratitude, grateful, love you, thank you. So that was our big start, and we were just amazed and filled with gratitude and joy that somebody took care of us. It was very nice. And then we get to the maple syrup farm an hour south. Thank God it was beautiful and sunny. They had nothing. They were completely wiped out. It was like this invasion of maple syrup zombies that just ate everything. I mean, there was nothing left. The shelves were barren. And so we're like, okay, whatever. What do we do next? And as I was backing out of the farm, there was a woman who wanted to cross, so I stopped to let her through. And we just started chatting. That happens. I tend to be a magnet for people who want to talk, which is great. That's why I do what I do, and I'm grateful. And she was very upset that she, too, drove quite a distance down to get some maple candies and syrup and that whole feeling. And she bought the last 2 candies. She looked at my daughter, and she's like, young lady, would you like one? So Chloe graciously accepted, and we did end up sharing a moose-shaped maple syrup candy to celebrate spring here in New England, and Chloe was very cute about it. You know, we were very grateful to the young lady for sharing, and as we were driving, Chloe looks at me, and she's like, Mom, is that a moose antler? And of course I did. And it was just a strange question, I thought. It was cute. And then beautiful postings. You guys are spoiling me rotten online right now. Beautiful words you're posting about me and my work and my daughter. And I just love that. And I hope that I give you as much love as you give me, because it just humbles me amazingly. I'm going to cry again. Don't forget to check out Nico Therapies, who is one of our sponsors here at Living and Thriving. Michelle wrote a beautiful article, very similar to what happened to Chloe and I on Sunday, except I didn't know she was behind me. She was 2 cars behind me at my favorite Starbucks. And, well, go online, read her blog. It's beautiful and well-written, and it's all about sharing. Sharing is caring, and paying it forward and backward and sideways and upside-down ways. So really, really put that in your forefront. Today at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Jennifer Hill's new Intuition Nutrition show will be airing on PPMTV.org at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And guess who's the guest? Moi, me. Yes, I came up with my own yoga pose. I'm going to patent that baby. So without further ado, I can ramble on and on and on. There's a lot that's been going on, and I'm grateful, but we have a half an hour show. So let me tell you who our spectacular, amazing star is on today's show. Her name is Sharon Karn. She has an MFA. She's a musician, a speaker, a recording artist, a sound healer, a Reiki master, a consultant, a goddess. She is also a member of the conservatory at Mount Royal University in Calgary, Alberta. Beautiful country. You guys got to get up there. It's gorgeous. Sharon is also the founder of Sound Wellness, and she's in the forefront of education and how sound and music can easily be applied to your everyday life to reduce stress, help you concentrate, and energize you. She is my cup of tea because I love, as you all know, music. And maybe she can explain to me why I am so obsessed with music, because it brings out so much joy in my body. Miss Sharon, good afternoon and welcome to Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good afternoon, Rusty. Thank you.
So I gave you a little bit of an intro. Why don't you tell our guests what you do and who you are and where they can find you?
Oh, my website is soundwellness.com, and it's one of those things that you never expected to be doing, a gift from the universe that happened. I've been teaching classical guitar all my life and playing this beautiful instrument. And a parallel path of mine has always been reading about alternative therapies and energy healing and taking all kinds of courses. And they came crashing together when I was asked to take part in a study on stress at the Mount Royal University, where I'm on faculty. And it was a phone call that just kind of came from out of the blue. And I was asked to create a program as one of the interventions or facilitators. So I did that. And at the end of the study, the people in the group I was working with were so excited about what they had learned and how much it helped them. I thought, oh my gosh, I've been gathering all of this material for many, many years and decided to create Sound Wellness as a way of getting this information out into the world. They found so much value in what they learned. It's fascinating how, I always find it fascinating how the universe gives you a little bit of nudge to your direction as you journey through this life.
I absolutely agree, but unfortunately, I'm such a scrappy little redhead that the universe actually pushes.
I've had some of those too.
Big old smack.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're there. You're talking to me.
Out of the blue.
Right. So, how many years have you actually been teaching this, and what is you noticed as the benefits? Give us, because we're an audio group and you're trying to explain this, give us the best example that you can about how this is, you know, being implemented and effective and some success stories.
Oh, well, I'd love to share a little bit first about how the human being is wired for sound, Rusty, because we are so incredibly wired for sound. That's why it's been a part of the human story since we've been on this planet.
So is that why it's addicted to music? Like, I will roll out of bed waking up singing a song because I've been singing in my sleep the whole night. I'm a music addict.
Well, there's a very good reason for that in our physical wiring, and that's just the physical wiring. One of the things not everyone knows is that sound goes through you. It goes through the more fluid parts of your body 4.5 times faster than it goes through the air. It goes through your bones 12 times faster. And sound is defined as a vibrational energy. In order for sound to just move, it has to push against atoms and molecules. When a sound wave comes at you, it has to push against your atoms as it goes through you. It's pushing in a wave form, and it's sending all of your atoms and molecules into vibration. That's one of the ways that sound works on the human being, for benefit or not for benefit. It's a fascinating concept, And I think we've all experienced that whenever you've had one of those boom cars drive up beside you when you've been sitting at a stoplight, and you can feel the you can feel that face through
that.
Your bones.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh yeah. And then everybody's head starts bobbing. That's the whole point. It's an addiction. It's crazy.
Well, it's also keeping you healthy, which is very cool, because one of the interesting things that happens whenever you're listening to your favorite music, whenever you're singing, and whenever you're singing with other people, or wherever you're playing in a band or playing music with other people, hormones are released from the brain. It's a neural cocktail of hormones. And among them are dopamine and oxytocin. Oxytocin is the bonding hormone. And it's what makes us feel so wonderful whenever we're singing with other people or playing music with other people.
What is, so let's break it down scientifically. I'm not sure if you can do that, but here's my rustyism theory. So you're in Rusty Science Mad Hatter class now. Do you think that our innate attraction to music and sound has a lot to do with the amount of vibration and sound in the womb? Because we spend, you know, it's actually 10 months, folks, not 9. I don't know who keeps saying 9, but they need to go back to a calendar. 10 months in the womb, and there's a lot of noise. There's a heartbeat, which is rhythmic. There's fluid moving around. You know, you're right against the intestine, so you get some burps and googles in there. And, yeah, googles is an official scientific word, folks. And you get the voice echoing from conversations from the mom. Do you think that has a lot to do with it?
Actually, it's a really good question, Rusty, and it's been found that the hearing of a fetus develops at about 4 months in utero. So for 5 months, the sound surrounding the fetus actually stimulates the growth of the brain and the nervous system. The hearing is the first sense that we develop as human beings, and it's the last sense to leave us when we move on to the next dimension.
Isn't that amazing? All right, so I wasn't too far off the mark with that one. I think it's so amazing and fascinating to hear all of what goes on inside your body, and yeah, so it must be why we're so rhythmic. I love it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You're right on with that. And another thing that's really interesting is that every time you walk into the grocery store, there's always music playing. And it only takes minutes for that your heartbeat to match the rhythm of that music. We have no off switch for that. Even if we're paying no attention to the music, music around you changes your heartbeat. Now, that's a really interesting thing to know whenever you have had one of those days and you need to either calm down, slow down your heartbeat, or if you need to create more stimulation and just get revved up. Music changes your heartbeat to match the rhythm of the music. So if you're really stressed after a difficult day and you need to calm down the heartbeat, then look through your music collection for a piece with slow rhythms. Also look for a piece that has low sounds, because both of those things will slow down your heartbeat. And when you slow down the heartbeat, you slow down your breathing and your brainwave state. All those three systems are intimately connected. So it's a wonderful way of creating a relaxation response with your own music collection. And then the reverse, too, if you find that you just need to feel be energized or get more focus, if you've been sitting too long, you need to move around a little bit, put on something with higher sounds and also some fast rhythms. That gets the heartbeat moving faster, your breathing, and your brain waves.
And I love didgeridoo for that, because didgeridoo actually complements kind of a neutral biophysical feedback, I think. Maybe it's just me because I'm a junkie when it comes to music, but when I feel like I need to get peppy without overstimulated, I love to throw in didgeridoo. Does it make sense?
Oh, yeah, I love it too. In fact, I just had a lesson on the weekend where there was a didgeridoo, amazing didgeridoo player in Calgary here, and he offered a group class, and I hadn't quite got the circular breathing figured out yet for when I'm playing it, but it's
right.
an incredible instrument.
Very cool. What is your favorite instrument? I know you mentioned that you like to teach classical guitar, or that's what you have been teaching, but is that really what you've gravitated towards as you've gone through this process, or?
Well, I found a guitar under the Christmas tree when I was 16, so it kind of happened that way. And there happened to be a guitar teacher just about a block away, which was wonderful, and he loved the classical guitar. So through his inspiration and his effect on me during my lessons, I really fell in love with the classical guitar. And it's a favorite instrument for sure. For me also, there's really, I guess there's two other instruments that would be a choice of mine, and the harp I've always loved and the cello. And there's,
I love the cello.
You played the cello?
Yeah, for many years, actually. In the South, when you grow up in the South, it's very different than up here in New England. In the South, you're taught strings very early. So in kindergarten, you start the recorder, but by first grade, you have a choice of what string instrument you want to, or what instrument you want to play. And I started with the violin, and then I graduated to the cello.
That's brilliant.
Until sophomore year of college. But I haven't played since, and I'm there in years. But one day, I'll go back. It's like riding a bicycle, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. And the cello, the guitar, and the harp are the only three instruments you hold in front of your heart. So they have this wonderful heart resonance, too. And I think that's why so many people like those instruments, because they feel that connection in the heart.
And it's very vibrational. I mean, the cello, I think, it has the not quite as low as a bass. Of course, you know more about it than I do, but for someone who just enjoys playing the cello, the vibration and the sound, I think the bass is too bassy for me, too low.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? The violin
is
great.
Makes sense.
The violin's a lot of fun to play, but it's more, it made me a little bit more high-strung. It's higher pitched. But I mean, I'd still play in a heartbeat. Not very good at it anymore, but the cello, I don't understand the complete depth of why it resonates so deeply with me. And that and the sax. Of any of the wind instruments, the sax is the only one I like.
Interesting. All those, the mid-range sounds seem to be the sounds you intuitively chose that really fed you.
Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about that, because I know I'm not the only one who has particular instruments. Some people like, I love the dobro too, but again, that's a mid-range instrument. So talk to us about the connectivity in regards to preferred sounds.
Well, that's interesting too, because in recent studies in neuroscience, they found that every single one of us responds uniquely to sound and music. That every one of you can play the, and I've had this happen so many times when I've been speaking in front of groups of people. I play a lot of samples and examples of music. We use sound tools and we use the voice too. And every time I play a piece of music, it's fascinating to take a poll of the room afterwards, and so many people, it's such a diversity of response. Some people loved this piece. Some people hated the same piece. Some people were so-so. Some people knew they wanted to listen to it all the time. It's absolutely fascinating. And it's also creates a bit of a problem when you want to use sound to support your health, because you have to explore a lot of different ways of using sound in order to find what works for you. You found that the mid-range instruments is really supportive to you, and you love that sound.
Intriguing in regards to what you're saying, and we're actually running out of time, which I got to get the show back to an hour, is for thousands and thousands of years, yogi practitioners, Buddhist monks, Catholic priests, any priesthood or religious sect has always had an om or a mantra or a guttural from the belly button up prayer sound.
Mm-hmm.
How else would you describe that? In the Buddhist culture, we say om, but that's happened for thousands and thousands of years. And again, that's very mid-range, that vibrational piece.
Okay.
I think it's interesting because now we're starting to really manifest, or we're really starting to scientifically prove that those sounds offer not only synaptic healing in the brain, but also healing from cancers and cellular healing.
Oh, absolutely. And there's a set of tuning forks that I love to teach about, and they have it's a perfect fifth with a C at 256 hertz and a G at 384 hertz. And not only is that sound grounding, but the studies done on those forks by a doctor and a neuroscientist found that it stimulated the nitric oxide cycle of the body. And that's the healthiest thing that our cells do. It's a natural, healthy cellular cycle that's usually depressed when we're stressed. And, you know, 90% of the population in North America is deeply stressed. So being able to have a sound that stimulates a natural cycle in the cells that is so helpful, not only for combating disease, but also for helping depression, mental health, and every aspect of your life. They're the most fascinating tool I've found so far as creating just a natural, healthy cycle like that.
Who would have thunk Ozzy Osbourne was, you know, somebody's Prozac pharmaceutically? I mean, if you think about it. For every like and dislike musically, I'm not a huge country fan, but I love folk music and blues, uh-huh, and old school country. To me, that's country-ish. But that puts a little fun in my step, and yet some people hate it. But it's still therapeutic, and if we actually were to work more on the natural musical therapies, I'm a huge advocate for art therapy. I really think that would be the best pharmaceutical company ever. Eat right, jam, dance, finger paint,
pour
mud at
yeah.
each other, laugh.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like the best hospital ever. I want to go.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's fascinating that nowadays, we've always known that, but it's fascinating that nowadays that science is beginning to confirm that all of the arts are so important to our health.
Yeah, and ironically, and I don't know how it is in Canada, but I'm imagining you guys are feeling the budget cuts as tightly as we are, but here in America, ironically, they're cutting all of the arts out of our education. So go figure. The one pharmacy that we actually need, we're cutting the budget for. Very unfortunate. So I'm going to give you the last 4 minutes of the show. And this is a tough question for some. For you, I think you've got it. Out of 200,000 people on an international level, what is the largest takeaway from this show that you'd like to offer?
The largest takeaway is, well, a few things. The first one is to be incredibly aware of the sound around you. Become aware of the sound around you because that sound goes through you and it vibrates. It sends your atoms and molecules into a state of vibration. So I encourage everyone to become incredibly aware. For those, I have a few links if people are curious about hearing the sounds of these tuning forks or Tibetan bowls. I have a few links that people can go to actually experience them, to find out whether or not that's a sound that feeds you.
Okay, great. And where can they contact you? Are you on Facebook?
Yes, I'm on Facebook. My personal page is Sharon Karn. SCARN1. And the Sound Wellness page is Sound Wellness, Sound Wellness Solution.
Okay, I'm trying to look you up right now. Sound Wellness Solution. So if you can do me a favor and post the links, I will repost on my website so your friends and my friends will have a copy of all of those fabulous links that you just offered to donate.
Oh, that would be awesome. We have a free membership on the site, too, where people can just join with an email and a password and or a username and a password, and it allows you to play with a lot of videos and sounds and articles to find just explore a little more. There's so much in the whole field of sound and how it can help you.
Sound is amazing. Vibration is amazing. Hugging people is amazing. And having wonderful educators like you out there in the universe doing some really amazing good work, you know, big hugs to you. I'm so thrilled that you were able to share your story and give us a little bit of your time to inspire people and get somebody's groove on. Get out there and start dancing, folks. Lord, I jumped up at 6 o'clock in the morning playing Technotronic. Not kidding. You guys who are on my Facebook know that. So go out to soundwellness.com and visit my friend Sharon. And blessings to you, my friend. I'm so grateful for all the work that you do.
Thank you so much, Rusty. And thank you for allowing me to be a part of your show and to share some of this.
Absolutely. I'm humbled and grateful. What you do is amazing. And I look forward to having you on the show again. I just feel universally that's going to happen.
Oh, that would be so awesome. I'd love to continue this conversation.
Great. All right. So I will see you on Facebook in a little bit.
Thank you.
Thank you. Holy smokes, another lover of music, amazing goddess extraordinaire, understanding sound, the vibrations, the amazing aspects of human development, synopsis. Rarely does anybody understand what I'm talking about, so it was quite a pleasure to have someone who could follow the bouncing ball in Rusty's Mad Hatter brain. But how amazing is that? I really, really, really think going and signing up for her freebies and playing around with sound and learning more about the causality of different sounds and what they do to your body and your soul and your mind is worth it. I'm going to go play myself in a little bit. So today is Humpty Hump Day, and believe it or not, it is the last Wednesday of the month, which actually kind of is scary since we're having more winter than we are spring. It's very unfortunate, and I am in denial. But on the last Sunday of the month here on Living and Thriving, I have author, motivational speaker, and mom, Lisa Hine. She is the author of Manifesting God's Love in Your Family, Growing Together in Faith, and the book I'm Doing the Best That I Can. She's a co-author of the international best-selling book, Ready, Aim, Excel. So I'm looking forward to her here on Living and Thriving, Sunday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And as always, know that I love you. You're beautiful. You amaze me. Keep those letters coming. Keep chatting with me on Facebook. Read my blog. It's about how hot, sexy, and raw you are. You're beautiful to me. This journey is our journey together, and we get to meet some amazing people. So thank you. I'm blessed. I'm grateful. I'm humbled. Until next time, here on Living and Thriving, big hugs and kisses. And remember, go out and do something nice for somebody, even if that's putting a smile on your face.